Now we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, and the Lord Jesus says, pray like this. This is the pattern of prayer. It's also a good prayer to pray. And they're things that we ask for. Even the first one, hallowed be your name, we're asking for something, not for us, but asking that God will do something so that his name will be kept holy. You know, sometimes asking prayers can be seen as sort of second rate. We shouldn't be, that's not true. The disciples' prayer is asking for things for God's glory and for our own good. So it's asking our Father. It's asking our Father, who is the best Father, our Father in heaven. And he cares about us and he gives us things when he responds to our prayers. He always does what's good for us. He wants us to ask him for things. And that's encouraging. And we ask him that his name would be kept holy. We ask that his kingdom would come. And of course, are thinking of the final kingdom when Jesus comes back. But also at this time, before Jesus comes back, we're asking that he will cause the gospel to spread, the gospel of the kingdom, so that men and women, boys and girls will be changed. And so they'll be living for him and that they'll be brought out of darkness into light. That's what we pray for when we pray, your kingdom come. A double focus. And this is happening. The gospel is spreading. We know it's spreading. I was just reading this morning in Voice of the Martyrs, I think it is. I'm not sure. But the gospel is spreading in Iran, this very strong Muslim country, Shiite Muslims, where they're estimating between 750,000 and 1 million, maybe more, people are Christians, where changing from being a Muslim to a Christian can bring about your death. The gospel's spreading in China, spreading in a lot of places with persecution, even though as I was reading about it. Now this can sound, we don't seek persecution. But it may be that in those places where Christianity is persecuted, that's where the gospel is spreading. Would it be that perhaps in this country, things are going to get worse in order that they might get better for the gospel? No, I don't pray for persecution. No. But you can see what's happening in other countries where there is persecution. The gospel spreads. People are brought from darkness to light because they see the hollowness, the emptiness of the alternative. Whereas we tend to be in this country comfortable. We don't pray for persecution, but we do pray that the gospel will spread, and the gospel is spreading. But when we look at around us, we would say this, there's a long way to go. Isn't that true? There's a long way to go. I mean, there are people... I was just talking to someone this morning who was mentioning the census and how... Of all the religions, Christianity doesn't come up as, you can put Christian, and no religion comes up the top. And it seems to me this is a symptom, you see. I believe that it's in order to move public opinion in a certain way, but it's a symptom of the hearts of the people, isn't it? That is, what is the nature of our society? Our society is not one that's Christian. And we can forget this because we aren't under a lot of pressure yet. And so, but when we think about it, there is a long way to go. And I remind him of Psalm 126, which starts out by saying, when God brought back the captives to Zion, we were like those who dreamed. You know, it was fantastic. You know, our hearts were filled with joy. The nation said, look what the Lord's done for them. What's the second part of the psalm? Give us more. Yeah. Bring back our captivity like streams in the Negev. Now, in the Negev, it's as dry as a chip, okay? But when it rains, it rains. Right? And they say in Israel that more people drown in the desert than they do in the sea, right? Because they get caught in these ravines and the water comes down and it rushes down and people get swept away. And they're saying, bring back our captivity. So they're saying, Lord, you did all these fantastic things for us. We're satisfied. No, we're not satisfied. Give us more. And brothers and sisters, I think that as we've been praying this morning, pray for revival. Yeah? Lord, have mercy on us. pray for revival. And yes, and so that's what we're praying for when we pray, your kingdom come. But we also pray, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask ourselves, what does this mean? You know, we can say the words, but what does it mean, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And the way to find out is, of course, is to think about what the Bible says, as was said up here the front this morning. It's God's word that tells us what we're to believe and to understand. Well, what does it mean, your will be done in heaven? Well, in Psalm 103, this is what we read. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. That's how it's done in heaven. God speaks, angels act. God says it, they do it. That's what it means. It's not rocket science, that's what it is. Psalm 21, the same. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Jehovah wills it, they do it. That's how it works. And so the armies of heaven do it. Cherubim, seraphim, Michael, Gabriel, all of them, as we speak, are doing what God wants them to do. That's what it is, as they do it in heaven. And so they do it perfectly. They do it 100% all the time. And we're praying, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want. That's what we should want. Now, I'm not being rude. I'm just saying, again, isn't it true we can get complacent? Yeah, it's okay for me. But the Lord's saying, no, I want you to want my will to be done just as it is in heaven, 100%. And so that's what we pray for. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, we know that'll happen when Jesus comes back again. And of course, we're praying for that, aren't we? Yeah. When Jesus comes back again, as I was going over this sermon, which obviously I've preached before, I saw some of the things that'll be when Jesus comes back again. And I thought to myself, really? I mean, that's almost inconceivable. Talks about a new heaven and earth, a new earth where righteousness dwells. Really? Yes. Now it says in John says, when we see him, we will be like him because we'll see him as he is. See? And I've got to step away from the microphone, but you'll hear me anyway, right? Okay. And we can stand over here and we can go, oh yeah, that's very interesting, you know, as if it's a thing to be thought of over there, you understand? But you see, that's not the issue. See, he's saying, we will see him as he is. We will be changed. And you go, really, me? Yes, that's what it's saying. That is what it's saying. See, that's what it's going to be like. It's just a bit overwhelming. And in fact, Jesus says in one place, the Son of Man will send his angels and they'll gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawlessness. Out of his kingdom, all causes of sin and lawlessness. Can you imagine being in a situation where you're never tempted to sin? Never. Not an inkling. Internally or externally. That's what it's going to be like. See, and that's why I said it's almost inconceivable, because I've never been in that situation. None of us have ever been in that situation. And yet that's what it's going to be like. So it's just, okay, so you can see why they're praying. We pray, your kingdom come. The ultimate, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thinking about that ultimate time. I've written here, think about it, meditate on it. Dream about it. It'll be better than an all expenses paid holiday to the land of your dreams. You know. Now it will be. See, that's the thing we don't think about. People say, and it's a good saying, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. If we believe the Bible. That's what Scripture says. That's true. Okay. But we want to think about the situation now as well as then when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to be thinking about what that means. And of course, we can't go into that in detail. I just want to look at three areas where we can have in our mind as we think about this. And I want to think internationally. I want to think socially. I want to think personally. So we just think about it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven now. And there's a song, I can't remember the backstory, of someone who's in a war cemetery. You probably know the song. And it's just focusing on the horrors of war. Ah, young Willie McBride, I can't help wonder why. Do those that lie here know why did they die? And did they believe when they answered the cause? Did they really believe this, that this war would end wars? Well, the sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing and dying were all done in vain. For young Willie McBride, it all happened again, and again and again and again and again. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? That sums up the horror of war, international situation. And you see, this is not God's will for the international situation. Now, we can discuss afterwards, if you want to, about God's decretive will and about God's providence and so on. But we're talking about his revealed will, what he wants, you see. And he tells us what God's will for international behaviour is this. They shall beat their swords into ploughshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. That's God's will. Now, that's the ultimate situation, but that's God's will. They shall beat their swords into ploughshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up war sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. No wars, no international conflict. But notice the alternative, agricultural productivity. That's just the ideal state of affairs. But it's what God, it is ultimate, but what God wants now as well. Now, it won't happen perfectly before the Lord returns, but you see, our own sanctification, our own holiness is what God wants. Will it happen perfectly before Christ comes back? No. But do we not strive to grow more like that? Yes. And my claim is that internationally as well, we should be seeking that, even if it's not going to come perfectly. That is, that things will be more peaceful, is God's will. And we pray for it. And we work for it. And it's foolish to ask whether this is relevant. You turn on the news. Are there conflicts? Think of Afghanistan, and Myanmar, and Hong Kong, North and South Korea, and Israel, and Gaza, and you can keep going, Yemen, in Africa. We know there are terrible conflicts and people being killed and displaced, and it's disturbing, and it's against what God has commanded in his word. It dishonors God. And so international peace is relevant, and so we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's good for us to think, and we can say, look, nothing can happen, it's out of control. No. Is Christ on the throne? Yes. Are all things being put under his feet? Yes. I don't know how it's going to work, but at least we pray, your kingdom come. And we care about these things. Think of a world where the billions of dollars which are now poured into producing weapons, in 2017 it was $400 billion in international sales of weapons. That's a lot of money. What if that was invested into agricultural jobs and useful production? See, everything would change. They'd beat their swords into ploughshares, their spears into pruning hooks. God's will is good for human beings, and we pray for the international scene, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One thing we should be thinking about. But let's think about our society, and this is just one point out of many, and you can think about this for yourself, but think about society. One of my favourite psalms is Psalm 72, and that's why we read it, and it's a favourite of mine because we sing about King Jesus. because he's the best king. Yes, it was talking about Old Testament, but it's looking forward to Jesus coming again. And this psalm was put in the book of Psalms, and the book of Psalms is put together after the exile, and after the exile there is no king, but they're still singing about a king. What king are they singing about? They're singing about a king to come, and we know who the king to come is. So Psalm 72 is pointing to the Lord Jesus. And it's talking about the rule of the Lord Jesus and what that will mean for society. For society. And if you want to think of one word, it's the word justice. The word justice. Justice for society. That's God's will for human beings, that there is justice done. You read the prophets. The prophets are just on about justice. And so Psalm 72 talks this way. May he, that is the king, and we know who it is, defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. Justice. Verse 12. For he delivers the needy when he calls, and the poor, and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and he saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life. Precious is their blood in his sight. Justice. Justice in society. Now, is that relevant? Now, it's relevant. Well, I think it's relevant. In so much of the world, absolutely. There's corruption, there's cruelty. There is. Are they needy and oppressed in our country? Now, you can make your list. I'm just putting these up as possible places to look. What about among asylum seekers, Indigenous people, the unemployed, the unemployable, the disabled, the unborn, the aged, the drug dependent, the mentally ill, the sexually exploited women, abused children? Now, we can always discuss to what extent are some people in this position for their own because they made that choice, but we know it's, I think it's as plain as a pikestaff, really, that there are some people in this position not because it's their choice. And that's what we're thinking about. And what does God think about that? God says this is not how it should be because it's injustice. It's not how it should be. And so we pray for this too. We pray when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want. This is injustice in our society as well. And I think it's good for us, when we discuss these things, to say, where does this happen? Where does it not happen? But at least we see the principle. And so we've thought internationally, peace. In our society, justice. But then what about God's will for individuals? That we come down to a personal level now. And it seems to me that God's will on earth starts at the personal level, because it's people that make a difference. The things that are happening at international level is because of people. The things that happen in society is because of people. So we think about individuals, and God's will, of course, matters here when we think about, when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. And what does that look like? What does it look like? Well, again, we look in the Bible. And it's a big book and there's a lot of things there. And I think where to start, we might ask the question. And I'll say, understandably, I suppose, the Sermon on the Mount would be a good place to start. And I'll tell you why, not just because I've looked at this a bit, but because the disciples' prayer, the Lord's Prayer, comes in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. So you'd reckon that the Sermon on the Mount would be a place that you could start to work out, saying, what is God's will? Well, here it is, at least the individual. Let's have a look at that. And I'm saying, yes, God's whole word is his will, but here's a good place to start. It's in three chapters. It's not hard to read. It's got 15 main things that it says. You can put them on a piece of A5. Just the principles. Yeah. But God's will for the individual, for each person. And it's not just God's will for Christians. It's God's will for everybody, because Matthew 28, what does Jesus say? All authority is given to me on heaven and earth. Right? There's not one person on the planet who doesn't owe allegiance to the Lord Jesus and to put their trust in him and to follow him. And so the Sermon on the Mount is for everybody. We'll say some more about that in a minute, but this is for everyone on the planet. Everyone, no exception. None. And wherever that's happening, and to the extent it's happening, that's God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And what would it be like if people, if everybody, everybody lived this way? There'd be no unresolved anger between husbands and wives, parents and children, employers and employees, between fellow Christians. When I thought about that, no unresolved anger between husbands and wives. You can think of this in the big scheme of things, right? You know, really big. No, just who's got control of the remote control? Yeah. I mean, you understand, right? You know, can you get irritable? Okay, ladies, you don't have to listen to me, fellas. Can you get irritable when your wife tells you to do certain things? You don't have to, no one has to put up their hand, but just in, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Now, I mean, that's reality, isn't it? That's reality, right? Now, you see, and you can get really irritable. I've heard it said that you can get really irritable, you know? But you see, my heart, I'm just saying, I was thinking about it yesterday for reasons that will remain. No, look, I was driving in the car and Margaret's saying some things to me, you know? And here I'm going to preach the next day on your will be done on earth as in heaven. I'm getting irritable. You know? Well, come on. You know? I'm just saying. Now, it's not a very big thing, but it starts somewhere. You know? And it starts... You understand what I'm saying, right? So, and that's what the Lord... What your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Real things. Real things. Yes. Okay. So it can sound... There's a humorous side to it, but... When you think about it, there's something really going on here, isn't there, you know? And so, it's no unresolved anger between husbands and wives, parents and children, employers and employees, between fellow Christians. No more objectification of women by the pornographic industry. And not just the pornographic industry, you know that, right? It's by the advertising industry and by sellers of cars and whatever else it might happen to be, right? That's look, we know that's how it is. Right? No more dishonesty in tax returns and insurance claims, as well as in day-to-day speech. Right? No more retaliation and escalation of bitterness, even at perceived wrongs, intended or unintended, on the road, at the footy, in the workplace. Instead, proactive chosen care, proactive concern, care, help, appreciation. Now, that's just the start of the Sermon on the Mount. But you see, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Now... So I'm just, and so we can feel, I think we can feel it ourselves, and so we pray when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying for ourselves as well, aren't we? Or we should be. Lord, and in me. Okay, that's what I need to pray, and I, brothers and sisters, you need to pray that too, because we're all sinners growing in grace. And so I'm thinking of the key word. We went for peace for the international. I went for justice in society. What would we do for individually? Harmony, kindness, unselfish kindness. I mean, you think about what the word would sum it up, but that's what we want. It's God's will for individuals. So we've got an idea, I think, of what it means to say God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I think it'd be good to ask the question. You should ask the question. No, I should ask it. How can this happen? How can it happen? What's the key to making this happen? And the key is obvious. The key is the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the key. Really? That is, people whose hearts are changed by the Lord and following the Lord, Not merely saying, well, I'll tick the box on the thing, I'm a Christian, you know, on the census, I'll tick the box, and then I'll go and live as I like. No, it's those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus, who are trusting him as their saviour, who said, Lord, I'm lost, I need you, I've got nothing but you, simply to the cross I cling, nothing in my hands I bring, Lord, please save me. Right. And watch the words. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Right? And that's how we come, because we know we're foul. We know we've got so much washing to be done that we keep coming. And it's that washing that makes the difference. And it's true that unselfish kindness can be exercised by non-Christians, and there can be justice executed by unbelievers. We know that. But you see, the thing is, it's not done for the Lord. And that's the thing, because it's your will be done. Not just what is expedient or what feels good, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God's will is that we do this out of living for the Lord Jesus. So, my claim is that international peace and justice in society and selfless kindness amongst ourselves, amongst people, is by people repenting of their sin and trusting in the sacrifice of Christ and obeying the Lord and following him. Imagine if the leader of North Korea became a Christian. It would make a difference, you'd reckon, wouldn't you? Well, what about Xi Jinping, the leader of China? And you go through the list. The ultimate key to God's will being done on earth, as it is in heaven, even now, is the Lord Jesus. And it's the only key. You see, when will the nations beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks? Well, it tells us, Isaiah, come when the people say, come let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. You see, that's the vision. The vision is, as in the prophets elsewhere, that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's it, you see. And again, I say, you can say, well, you know, that's never going to happen before Jesus comes back. And I say, of course it's not going to happen before Jesus comes back. But can we move towards that? Because the gospel is powerful. And that's what we should be seeking. And that's what we're praying for. Yes. Okay. And the key to God's will being done on earth at the international level, it's bowing the knee to King Jesus by the leaders of the nations and the nations. And when will the needy and oppressed get relief in a way that is God's will and society be changed to do God's will in God's way? Well, Psalm 72 tells us. Whenever people pray for King Jesus and bless him all day long, when he is ruling in people's hearts and lives, that makes a difference. And that's what we pray for. And when will individuals live out God's will in the nitty-gritty of everyday life? Living out the Sermon on the Mount. Not because they or we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and pull up our socks and we'll be okay. No, it's in the power of the Spirit. And where does the power of the Spirit come? The power of the Spirit comes from those who have given up on themselves and are trusting in the Lord Jesus alone and trusting him. And we like to think, it's just like that. I've got it all together. No, it's a work in progress. We're forgiven 100% and then sanctification, but it works. It does work. And if you have a look at yourself, you'll see that the Lord is working that way. And so we're praying that men and women and boys and girls, by repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus, will become disciples of the Lord Jesus and grow as disciples of the Lord Jesus. And we're praying that for politicians and world leaders, and you can think of all sorts of people, mechanics and farmers, and those who stack the shelves in Coles and Woolies, and your next door neighbour, and teachers and lawyers, and just the whole of society. That's what we want. We're praying for that. Because that is the thing that makes the difference. And so far as this happens, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, increasingly, until the Lord Jesus comes back. And so, this is what we pray for when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and including also in me, also in me. Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, all glory to you. I do pray that your name will be glorified and honoured, and that you will cause by your Holy Spirit the gospel to spread in our society and throughout the world. And Heavenly Father, that you'll send labourers into the harvest, and that you'll accompany their work by your Holy Spirit and touch hearts and turn men and women and boys and girls to you, and that you will work in us as well, that we may grow in grace and be an honour to you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.